Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello everyone, we're Superhero Stuff You Should Know, and if you think you know about superheroes and comic books, think again.
We got romance, we got action,
romance.
We got comedy, we got everything you need, man. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know for all your superhero needs.
I don't know about this romance, what part are you talking about?
We've got all kinds of sketches, and then deep dives on top of that. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
Alright, so come on down to, to Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
It is mind-blowing.
And heartbreaking.
How many original scripts are written every year but are never made?
So we seek out these scripts and bring them to life with full audio production and professional actors.
Check us out at Undiscover Scripts.
Movies made of paper.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Free!
Greetings, Horror Movie Night. Every day, your loyal compatriots are watching bad movies from the 80s, 90s, and sometimes 70s and 2000s. This week, they're watching Starship Troopers. Would you like to know more?
Hey, yeah!
Only the Patreon knows it took three tries to get that right.
Long time coming on this one, but kind of makes sense. Much like us finally talking about Event Horizon, we do have an anniversary with this bad boy. Starship Troopers, 1997,
man.
25-year anniversary. Man, how the time flies.
Just like a bug.
I'm getting old. This unlocked a really weird memory that I'm feeling comfortable enough talking about with you guys.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I was 12 years old watching this movie at sleepovers. And we were at that prime age where, and God, I hope that I'm not alone in this story because this could go really weird. But it was around that time where you're like, kind of like, yo, does everybody's penis do this thing that happens when you're watching naked ladies? And like, you kind of like examine each other a little bit. Like, it was a weird, like, this movie brings up like weird self-discovery about your sex organs to me.
Yeah, no, I certainly don't have the same experience, but at the same
not
time,
this one.
Not this particular one, but I also, like, not with Starship Troopers, I should say. Like, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, you learn about it in sex ed, but then you're like, you gotta check in with your buddy, you're like, does it?
I gotta interject two things. One, the only thing I learned about...
If it's not your dick, I don't want to hear about it, Scott.
It is, don't worry. There's only one thing I learned about in sex ed, and it was crabs. All right? Pubic lice is the only thing that I took away from sex ed in elementary school.
Oh, I'm so
Second
sorry.
Thing about my penis is the fact that, and this is actually very interesting, and I got to get serious with you guys. And I feel like after 7 years on this podcast, it now is the best time to talk about it. I am uncircumcised, and I was teased mercilessly for it. I was called Headless Horseman, which is ironic because my 10-year-long metal band, and you know, after I got out of college, was called Ichabod Crane. For the uninitiated, when you are uncircumcised, you have this thing called foreskin, and it typically does not retract unless you are either aroused or you pull it back yourself. So my friends, let's put it in quotation marks, called me the Headless Horseman because they couldn't see my frenulum.
They're not good frenulums if they don't accept you for who you are.
I am J. Jonah Jameson comic book meme right now. Like, that is, get me, fix the Scott Rogers frenulum. We're going to talk about dicks. If you're listening to this and you have a baby that you have not circumcised, good on you. Don't do it. Anyway, onto Starship Troopers. I never showed my dick to anyone else while watching Starship Troopers. That was other movies with boobies in.
So I want to talk about, we should eventually get into Starship Troopers now that we're done the dick portion of the show.
I don't know.
What do you think they do on spaceships, man?
With Starship Troopers, I'm not sure if you guys remember this, but I remember that there was a lot of reports when this came out of parents taking their kids to the movie, thinking that it was going to be like another Star Wars movie, and leaving mid-movie when they found out that they were very incorrect on what this movie was.
Laughing balls off.
Hysterical. My God.
Yeah, like, and in those parents' defense, right, like, while this was an R-rated movie, if you rewatch the trailers that came out for Starship Troopers, it did not in any way imply the sex, the violence, or the, like, way deeper meta satire commentary.
Oh, yeah.
That's
so
anti-war.
Yeah, I will even say that, like, so I didn't see it in theaters, or I had caught it on, you know, some, like, Cinemax or something, right? Or, like, Showtime, whatever channel, you know, name it. And it was on there at some point. And I fell into it thinking that it was, like, a sci-fi channel movie. And it's not just the trailer. It's really, like, if you catch a part where it's not ultra-violent or not, like, you know, there's no nudity or anything like that, if you catch yourself in any other part of it, it does play that way. Like, it does, like, it does not play like anything extreme until it all of a sudden turns. And then once I realized that there was a co-ed shower scene, any time that it was like after 11 o'clock at night and I was scoping through, like, and it was on, I was just hoping I would fall into that scene. I was just praying that I would just turn on Starship Troopers and I would be somewhere near the scene. This is the first time I watched the movie in whole, like in full.
So Kyle, side note, you just telling that story reminded me of a TikTok that I laughed at and then didn't know who I could possibly share it with. And I probably should have just thought horror movie night.
I'm around.
But it was growing up in the 90s, falling asleep on the couch in the 90s was awkward. And it's like a dude sleeping on the couch and all of a sudden the HBO logo kicks on and then it's the beginning of real sex. And like he like opens his eye and he like looks around and like he starts to make a movement and then it's like you hear a door open in another room and he throws the blanket over his head and pretends to be asleep again.
Oh my God. The that's, you know, it's happy. I'm so happy to know that that was not just a Kyle move.
Anybody, any man,
anybody,
anybody, any, yeah, let's just say any dude who had
normalized male shame.
Remember that part in Eternal Sunshine when Joel has to go into his shame and it's basically him masturbating in his bed? Yeah, that's but I didn't grow up with cables, so I never got to do the HBO like After Dark or the Skin to Max thing. So I had a really rough childhood.
Yeah, no, that's tough.
Things were hard.
I was gonna say I never really got. I kind of missed real sex, but man, I was there just in time for like Taxi Cab Confessions or whatever that shit was.
Which I never fully understood as a kid. I didn't quite get it. I knew that there might be nudity, but there might not be.
Yeah, I was like, I feel like this is supposed to be sexier than it actually is.
Yeah.
Like, even
understand.
As a kid, I'm like, they're just kind of talking about stuff.
I was like, this isn't Cash Cab.
I think your idea of Cash Cab might have gone a little bit later into the Bang Bus era.
Transportation and sex is weird.
We kind of moved past a bombshell, which is starting to become less of a bombshell every week. But this was your first time watching Starship Troopers from front to back?
I think so. I've seen a few things front to back on Starship Troopers, but not the whole movie. It's hard. I think there's gaps in it.
It's hard.
That must have been... It's hard. There's a lot happening here for Starship Troopers and me. No, I think that this might have been the first... All the way through. I must have seen most of
this
it.
This was a regular sleepover movie for me.
Yeah.
Like, this
that
was
makes
a
sense.
Frequent.
Yeah.
This is
it
too
was like
uncomfortable to watch
this,
as a sleepover movie for me.
Oh, man. It was this, Scream, Frighteners. Like, those were like the go-to horror movies. And then I'll save the other one for a double feature because when I say it, it's completely out of the realm of all the other ones. Know that those were the other three movies that were in regular rotation before I say the fourth one at closer to the end of the episode. Have either of you actually read the Starship Troopers book?
Yeah, book fucking blows. The book is
actual pro-war propaganda. Yeah.
Yeah.
Starship Troopers was the first book that I read in L.A. because I had bought it read on the plane. But what I found really interesting about the book Starship Troopers is that it's, like you said, it is pro-war propaganda, but it's also weirdly a faithful, like the movie's weirdly like a faithful adaptation to it in the sense that like all the story beats and dialogue are there. It's just the tone in which it's delivered changes dramatically.
It's like a
when you put
tone.
Yeah, where well, you put Verhoeven in, involved.
Yeah,
and,
half of well, Verhoeven read the book and was like, "This is bullshit. I'm going to make fun of it." And he was laughing his ass off all the way to the bank because this movie was a fucking hit. There are two main differences. One, they have exoskeletons. They're not just an armor, they're an exoskeletal armor, which is fucking cool. That is the best part of the book. The most boring ass part of the book is literally all the parts that they kept relatively similar in the movie, where Ironside is talking about like the theory behind warfare. They keep, I mean, all of that, that's all the book is. 50% of the book is that. It's super dry, and it's more of like a pamphlet about someone who is saying like the Cold War is good. It is really fucking wild.
It's a really off-putting. I read it the one time, and then I'm pretty sure I just gave it to like a local book store that was taking used copies. I think that this movie is really crazy in, and it gets pushed even further because as a kid watching this, I didn't pick up on what is incredibly clear now that by the end of this movie, Neil Patrick Harris is a full-blown Nazi doctor. Like,
he's wearing black and red. Come on.
Way over my head. I did not fucking get it until now.
But like as a 12-year-old, that was not clicking in my head, but I'm like, oh my God. Like,
I'm also the oldest one of the three of us, so like, yeah. I will give you guys some grace on that.
Thanks, Scott.
There's a lot that you could break down about that because in a weird way, he's also the most likable character when they're in high school. And I feel like it says a lot about like how quickly someone can be compromised in a like overly militarized landscape. You know what I mean? Like when they introduce him as high school, he's just kind of like the cool nerdy guy doing like, you know, weird card game tricks with his friends and has a pet ferret and whatever. And then like a couple years in this like hyper militarized lifestyle. And he's just like, yeah, we're going to fucking experiment on that goddamn bug. Like,
you know,
you're like, oh God, like he changed.
The funny thing about that is that he went from just being a boy to being a very proud one.
Yes. That he did.
And well, you know what also is the most fucked up part of the end of this movie is the fact that the fashy scientists are raping the brain bug.
Yeah. They never explain why the bugs are doing what they're doing, and the explanation just feels like it's crazy happenstance.
Yeah.
Like it's like, oh, it's just this creature that sometimes is on a meteorite that hits places.
Right.
And they're turning it into like this. This was the first time I really walked away from and thought, oh, these bugs don't even realize they're in a war. Like they're just being bugs.
They're just doing their thing. Yeah. But they're also not idiots. Like, because they can figure out, like there is a brain bug that is figuring out why it's happening too. So it's like, they are, I mean, retaliating in defense, but also trying to figure out what the fuck's going on, which is all any of us are asking of fascists. Like, why are you doing, like, what are you thinking?
Hey,
like, what?
Progressives that listen to our show, please tell your progressive friends to listen to our show because we're going to be losing some fascies. But the crazy thing is that while this movie others the enemy, right, it also does this thing where it kind of shines the mirror, it turns the mirror back on the military industrial complex, where all of the stupid bugs, all the bugs that are just quote unquote following orders, which is like Nazification of the other, blah, 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 you know, they are just following orders and they're stupid and it's okay. They're cannon fodder, right? It's okay to kill them. But then when you get the brain bug who's making decisions, that's like the goal. And so, like, think about it like upper leadership in any military, they're the ones that are actually making decisions, and they don't care because they're not actually killing anybody with their weapons or their bare hands. They're not on the front lines. They're the ones that are like trying to make, and I'm saying this firmly tongue in cheek, logical decisions about murder. And that's exactly what the brain bug's doing. And so it's this movie is so prescient. I love and hate how prescient this movie is, because we're in a fucking proxy war right now. We've been in proxy wars my entire adult life in the Middle East. It never changes.
And that's the frustrating part about life in general, I think.
We're very good at killing each other.
So paralleled with Rico and his whole trajectory, Rico's body count is like the second to the the bugs. You know what I mean? It's like, and that's only in, of course, in retaliation. Like, Rico's body count of all of his, all the people around him, he kills so fucking many. And, but he's climbing the military ladder as well. So it's like, he, you see glimpses of his humanity, but not much. He literally pulls the fucking insect leg out of Dizzy, right? Dizzy? Mm-hmm. Desi?
Yeah.
Dizzy.
And says, don't die on me. And it's like, you've been taught, like, that killing is all you can do. Football and then killing. That was literally all you can do.
But that's, it's also that pipeline, you know? Like, that's not super fleshed out in this movie.
No, not, because we're supposed to, like, somehow connect a little bit with Rico, well, or, like, enough with Rico.
Because he's the protagonist.
I don't at all. Like, I have no connection.
But when you're watching this at 12... you know that something feels off about this film, but like you can't like really articulate it.
Right.
And then like as you're into college and you learn more about like geopolitical stuff and the way that things work, and then you watch this movie back and like the idea of like the only way you are considered a citizen of the place that you live in is that you have to serve in the
military. You only get full rights.
To get full citizenship rights is like, it's kind of fucked up.
Yeah. And it's only tied together with the eulogy. It's tied to, like, that, like, because there's inklings of that. They obviously push that. It's not even inklings. It's very clear in the propaganda. But I didn't get what you're saying, Matt, until the eulogy, where he's like, but most of all, she was a citizen. And it's like, most of all, she was a citizen. Yeah. Like, you went to high school, which I can't believe that they were in high school at any point.
Those are the most 26-year-old, 18-year-olds we've seen
part of this fucking
months.
Movie is that they're in high school. but like, to your point, it's like, that is the whole thing. And then Rico is the one giving the eulogy, so he is completely, we're watching him be completely brainwashed by the propaganda in order to do that.
And the propaganda is great. The propaganda in this movie is so good because it's hilarious and horrifying simultaneously. Like,
propaganda is easier to see is satire. It's like, you know, if Idiocracy was this good at satire, that movie would be a classic. As it is, it's only a classic because of the concept.
I have quoted, I probably quote the propaganda more than anything in this movie. Between just the, do you want to know more? The only good bug is a dead bug. like just the interview segments.
Yes.
The scene where the kids are just stomping on the bugs and he's like, they're doing their part. Like,
and this, that's, again, so... that's the Cold War propaganda, because the kids are literally dressed like it's 50s. Like the little girl's wearing like a yellow dress or something like that. It's so great to see the detail that they put into that propaganda, because it's so perfectly criticizing the source material while still being, like you said, oddly faithful in a way. It's just, this is a very special film. I think that this movie is just untouchable. It's never
going to
be
not good. And I can't believe they
got
over to, like, I can't believe they got away with doing it for 2 hours. you know, over 2 hours.
And I've never been bored watching it.
It doesn't feel 2 hours, dude. It never has felt 2 hours to me when I watch this movie.
It doesn't feel 2 hours at all.
Because it moves.
It does.
It hits those beats. It has those breaks from reality. I want to talk about a scene that I don't know why. When I think of when you think of Starship Troopers, I feel like the normal person thinks about either the sexy co-ed bathroom scenes or they think about the different ways that you see people get killed by these bugs, right?
Right.
For whatever reason, the scene that has lived rent-free in my brain since I saw this movie as a kid is when they get the care package delivery. Jake Busey gets that, like, that fluorescent violin, and they're like just kind of having like a weird party, and like there's a whole bunch of reasons why that pops in my head. Like, there's a, just like, it's kind of this weird, genuinely happy moment of them having a good time, like, in the middle of just nonstop chaos, so it feels really out of place. You get the like Dizzy Rico hookup sequence, but also there's a line of dialogue that I have quoted so much from that scene, which is, a random soldier just walks up to Rico and goes, "Hey, Rico, you kill bugs good."
Yeah.
And then they just keep moving.
How many songs do you love that has that sampled in it? Because, you know, and the funny thing about that scene is that scene exists in every World War II movie ever made.
Let's talk about some quotes.
I got one for you guys. Let's bring it back around. The number one quote from this movie for me is not one that we've discussed yet. It's when Rico's dad goes, "Want to see the galaxy?" Because there's a song by a phenomenal band called Protest the Hero, where they just toss that in for no fucking reason. And I remember hearing that song for the first time. It must have been 2006, 2007. And being like, they said the thing, they did. You know, like I lost my shit because, I mean, this movie is so deeply ingrained in my brain that there was no like, what's that from? You know, it's just immediate.
Because this was my really first watch through. I only had the "Don't Die on Me," which I had already said earlier. But he said something about, "Do you want to live forever?" Right, and I do remember. I mean, I would say more than half the times I caught this on TV, I do remember that, or at least I've heard it elsewhere.
Jeremy Ironside has so many great lines in this, though.
Yeah.
And then Rico repeats it, though, towards the end.
That's the one I remember most, is Rico exclaiming it. I can't remember if it was within propaganda.
It's like the last line of the movie,
It's like before the ad, or before the propaganda, but like leading into it. Like they just captured that bug, and they're showing the type of like leadership that Rico has to like lead them out into the world, and they're gonna like live forever.
Speaking of living forever, because I have no other segue. if you're watching the video, Kyle, you got a can in your hand. What's going on?
Oh, it's empty now. I'm just gesturing. This is Super Knot from New England Brewery. This is my roughneck of a can.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello everyone, we're Superhero Stuff You Should Know, and if you think you know about superheroes and comic books, think again.
We got romance, we got action,
romance,
we got comedy, we got everything you need, man. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know for all your superhero needs.
I don't know about this romance, what part are you talking about?
We've got all kinds of sketches, and then deep dives on top of that. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
Alright, so come on down to, wait, why did I say come on down? To Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
We're here to entertain you. We'll sing your songs.
Hey there. Are you obsessed with things that happened before your time? Well, if you are, join me, the host of Before My Time, Gelsey Laurie, to discuss the wonders of the yesteryears that we weren't around to enjoy ourselves. You can find us on all podcast platforms.
Soon you'll be swaying, so come on, sing along.
Matt, you know, you got to tell us, you know, it's time for double features.
I gave a lead. I'm going to pass for now, only because I gave this big lead in to double feature that I had.
You're too nice about this. Just own your power.
I had this wacky lead in, but then I realized that I also wrote down something else that would be equally a good double feature. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, let me see if someone else takes this equally good double feature before I go. So go ahead, Scott. You take the lead on that.
Oh, man. I'm going to be real short and sweet like my stature. I just rewatched Pacific Rim on HBO Max, and it's a perfect double feature for this movie. That movie is stupid as fuck, but I love monsters. And so those kind of, I actually turned to Megan. I'm like, hey, you know, Pacific Rim is on HBO Max. And she's like, I'm like, no, I'm actually going to watch. And she's like, okay. You know, like, it's just like, why are you watching a movie again? You know, it's a turn your brain off movie because the laws of physics do not exist in that film.
That was cool when we had that weird like 2 years where kaiju movies were just like back, baby.
Well, you know, I think that movie was great, but let's not forget how bad the sequel was.
No, no, no. And look, I'm not saying that it was that they were all quality movies. I was just excited that we were getting like mainstream Hollywood kaiju movies no explainable reason.
Yeah.
Kyle, what was your double feature?
Mars Attacks.
Ooh.
I think the military humor, for lack of a better term, or like the view of the military is so it just matches so well. And yeah. I think it's like this one, you know, I think we were, you had said something, Matt, about, I don't know, you said something that made me think about how comic book-y Starship Troopers is at points, and I think that Mars Attacks obviously is that too. It's a fun B, I think it would be a fun B picture to Starship Troopers.
Okay, so 12-year-old sleepover, it would have been like Starship Troopers, Scream, Frighteners, and then for no real reason, Adam Sandler's The Wedding Singer would always find its way into the regular sleepover rotation.
I get it. It's got like that nostalgia feel.
And I genuinely believe Drew Barrymore has never looked hotter than she looks in The Wedding Singer. Like that was probably my first, as much as I say Christina Ricci was my first like celebrity crush, because as like a 10-year-old, I loved her in Casper.
Casper, yeah.
I remember watching The Wedding Singer in theaters and being like, who is that?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It was
that girl from
Gertie?
Firestarter?
That's Gertie?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Much better reference. Thank you. Yeah.
The actual double feature, the actual proper answer is connected by a woman who we didn't even mention once while talking about
this.
Oh,
no.
And yeah. That's
Denise Richards. I'm doing a Denise Richards double feature and popping in Tammy and the T-Rex right after I finish watching Starship Troopers.
I thought you were going Wild Things and really going whole hog on your hog.
Has anybody, I guess a quick question, and this would be a big ask or a big endeavor, but has anybody like ranked how often a movie has been picked as a double feature? Like, has anybody ranked?
Oh, man, we should.
Because I know that you and I have, even just in my short tenure on here, have both said Tammy and the T-Rex.
Tammy and the T-Rex has gotten picked a lot.
I would love to know.
Alligator has
most.
Gotten picked a whole okay. bunch.
A lot of Alligator.
There's definitely a few.
I picked TCM 2 and Prom Night 2 a lot. Yeah, Deep Party Massacre 3.
Yeah.
Hey, if any listeners want to go
oh,
through
oh, dear
the
God,
back
no, I would never make them do that.
Organize that. I have no desire to do
no,
that.
No, I would
somebody
love
has
somebody
asked
to tell
us,
me the answer. I don't
we
want
got an,
to do it.
We get an email one time that was like, can you guys also make a list? Because like I have that spreadsheet of every episode with links
oh,
that we've
someone
ever done.
Did
and somebody
ask
asked
for, all the
for like,
features
a list
one
of double
time.
Features
yeah.
and what we watched. And I was like, ha, no.
Mentioning emails, great time to remind people that hey, episode 350 is just around the corner, and after that we're gonna add another segment to the show where we read an email from a listener. So start getting those emails into us at hmnpodcast@gmail.com. literally anything. Ask us a question, tell us a funny story. I've got a couple that have literally been sitting in our inbox since the last mailbox episode we did 4 years ago.
Oh my God, it's been 4 years.
So let's get some fresher ideas in there. But is there anything else we need to talk about before
we
wrap up?
We need
up
to
there?
Talk about what we watched, and I believe we're doing a group what did we watch, correct?
A group what did we watch? I unfortunately watched like three movies that I fucking loved back to back to back this week, so I will give them shout outs after we do this main conversation.
Do those first and then let's talk about okay. what we all watched.
Yeah. Trying to watch all the Best Picture nominees, saw that Nightmare Alley was added to Hulu. That probably won't win, but I really want it to win. Scott, you might like it. It's kind of long because it's an Oscar nominated movie. It's Del Toro. It's a period piece in the 30s. It takes place at a circus. And it's a film noir murder mystery. So
I've been told to watch it, and I refuse. It's a drama. Yeah, I'm not watching it.
I mean, it's not that. I would say it's just a throwback to film noir more than drama. But yeah, it's fun. Turning Red, absolutely loved it. Probably the forerunner for my favorite film this year. Pixar's newest one that's basically Teen Wolf. It's about periods, essentially. And man, are the conservatives upset about that. So
anything to be upset.
If you just want a reason to piss off a conservative, check out some Turning Red this
week. Man, we are just losing listenership this week.
If look, anybody is like upset that a period exists in the world, like you've been like you had your chance to get out of this world, yeah, if because you're they're sitting, not going away.
Yeah, if you're sitting there and you're like, the only periods I recognize are at the ends of sentences, then like you
but then
get
you
the
end it with an
here.
Exclamation point, like you fuck up your whole you fuck up your whole purpose.
But yeah, those are the two main ones that I wanted to give.
I'm excited
props
to see Turning Red.
And then I think I mentioned it in the Facebook group, but currently The Batman is the best horror film of the year. It's really fucking good, and I am shocked at how much I liked it. All right, let's talk, unless anyone else has anything else, let's talk Fresh.
Yeah, all right, and listeners, if you have not watched it yet, it is streaming on Hulu. I would recommend it, but with caveats. What about you guys?
I think it's a cool movie that bit off more than it could chew.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, I think it's worth a watch.
It's hard to swallow, right?
It's a lot for it was a lot for me to chew.
It did not need to be almost 2 hours.
Yeah,
it did not need to be close to 2 hours. No. I thought for sure that it was a 90-minute movie before I even
would've been better
play.
As a 90-minute movie. Yeah.
Well, I did, and you know what? I had to stop, but I thought at some point to go do dad duties, but I thought that I was done. Like I thought that I was done. And then when I paused it to go do the shit that I had to do, I was like, 40 minutes left?
Yeah.
And like the story didn't like, you know, I mean, I thought that we could have wrapped it up in 10. Maybe I had 10 left, but 40
you know
was
where
a lot
it's
more
going.
Than I expected.
You know,
at some,
like,
point,
this
at some point you do. Yeah, you really do. And it's like, I don't know.
To be fair, it's a 90-minute movie after the credits start.
That doesn't matter. Okay, so that is the best thing about this movie is that the credits roll at the 30-minute mark.
33 minutes.
33 minutes. I
was
impressed.
It to see. I was floored.
I mean, I liked that, but at the same time, so I watched it alone, like on a Saturday morning or something like that. I was like laying in bed. Megan was still asleep. And so I watched it alone because I didn't think she would like it. Because I thought it was going to be super gory. I thought that it was going to be like a stomach turner, like Raw.
It was shockingly tame.
It was so fucking tame. And after, like, because I read two reviews of it and they were like, don't eat. And I was like, okay, it's going to be like Raw, but it's got Sebastian Stan, so I'll watch it. And it was like the tamest movie I've watched in years. Yeah. It's tamest, quote unquote, horror movie. It's like a thriller, like to me. It's just a thriller movie.
I mean, to throw back to what I literally just was talking about, I felt more discomfort watching some of the scenes of The Batman than I felt watching any second of Fresh.
And I don't think that that's doing it any favors because it's trying to be edgy and it's trying to say something. But I don't think that I just felt like they were standing on the edge of what they really should have done. And they didn't do any of it. And so it was actually a really frustrating watch. The second half, it was super frustrating because there are a lot of themes that were fantastic, like white women being part of the misogynistic culture that literally chews up and spits out women. That could have been a great thing, like talking about POC women of color and how they are kind of just a footnote in this story. And then like how even the black man is like, fuck this, I'm out, I've seen this movie. And there are so many pieces of commentary that could have been done. And in 90 minutes, and they had 120, and they didn't touch on any of them. And also, Sebastian Stan's character would have been so much better. I get that he's supposed to be like this irredeemable cannibal, you know, like, but also a likable irredeemable cannibal. And we've seen that before. I was so underwhelmed by the second half of this film.
When there are moments in this movie that I love. When he's dancing around to Obsession while like tenderizing the meat, I was like, this
the
is
only
what
gore
the whole
of the
movie should be.
You know?
Yeah, like this is so what the tone of this should be.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I think that there was some missed opportunities. I think that there was a very, in my brain, what was a very clear twist that never happened, which is like, and I'm curious, were either one of you convinced that Penny was just going to be the wife fucking with her on the other side of that wall the whole time? Because like,
I had a thought
that actually never came to me.
See, to me, I'm like watching it. I'm like, she keeps like giggling about like weird things, which I get is like when you've been in a traumatic situation, you're just like pulling it. But I was like, I think it would be an interesting twist, dark ending, whatever you want, where like they go back to save this person who is, you know, they walk in and Michelle recognizes her as the wife. And
well, it would have actually been better if there was nobody in the room. And if they would have, if they could have gotten out, if they hadn't have gone to try and save the people.
Trapped again.
Also,
something.
Her best friend, yeah. Molly.
Or that's what I meant. I think I said Melissa.
It doesn't matter. Molly. It's but so Molly. So in that dinner scene when they're eating breast meat, and she's laughing. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's Molly's boob, right?
Yeah, because she does.
Because she's holding her chest when they're fighting.
Yes.
I was watching, I was reading some comments about people talking about it on TikTok, and I was like, pretty sure that these people missed the fact that that's Molly's boob. But
right, and if it was supposed to be like, you know, one of those things where it's like, if you get it, you get it; if you don't, you don't. It's like it's totally missed that because the character doesn't even there's no intention in that at all. So it's like if it was supposed to be Molly's boob, there's no. And, like, the whole movie is winks and nods, and I can't believe that there's no fucking wink and nod. Like, which is the problem that I have with it myself, is that it doesn't feel dangerous. Like, the whole movie
it's
is
so
talking
sterile.
About this. The whole movie's talking about this big picture thing, and it's like, I got all the beats. Like, I felt like I understood exactly what they're going for, and I agree. Like, I'm like, you're talking about systemic things, societal things. You're talking about these issues that I have with how things are happening in this world that I'm like, I absolutely want to be there for it. But actually, the obsession dance was my least favorite part of the movie because I'm like,
really?
Yeah, well, so like, in theory, I loved it. I was like, it's shot great. It's fun. Like, all this stuff. Yeah,
it is a very pretty movie.
It took away, and it's like I realized that the director Mimi Cave comes from a music video background, so there's a lot of really fun and interesting visuals. I like that dance scene. I like the last dance scene where they're dancing together, Noah and
Steve.
But I felt like it undercut everything that it was trying to say. Like for me,
Let me throw something really wild out there.
Yeah.
I think that one of the faults of this movie was honestly trying to be an original concept, right? I think you take what it's trying to say in this movie and just do a remake of Motel Hell with that additional information, and I think you have a better movie.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely do. Like, I think that, like, because, like, when you're thinking about movies that should get remade, and look, we're a Motel Hell loving podcast here, but you should remake movies. You should remake movies that were like almost there, right?
Yep.
Like all of the pieces were there, but there was just something missing. Mm-hmm. And like Motel Hell does so much right, but there's so many tonal issues in that movie where it can't decide if it's a straight up horror movie or a satirical comedy.
But
I feel like
they both have the same problem. That's what you're getting at, is that they both, neither of them take the step to be
one or the other
in like a commentary way.
Yeah,
they're both very
safe. I have never I have not seen this movie yet. I've been wanting to see it. I literally have zero reason to have not seen it. Kyle, I feel like you're the most likely to have seen. Have you ever seen Gravy, I think it was called, from like 2014?
No.
It was written and directed by the star of Psych, who's like a massive horror fan. And I believe it's another like cannibal horror film. But like from what I hear of that one, it leans into the gross aspect of it. Like it's still a satirical comedy, but it's like, no, like you're making a cannibal movie. People should be sickened while watching it.
Yeah.
But it's like even Ravenous was more unsettling to watch. Mm-hmm. From like a cannibal side of things than this movie was.
I feel like we are talking about it as go figure horror fans. But I feel like it's put out there for the person who wants to like elevate it to horror, but can't totally like, it feels like 101 or 201. Like it feels like an intro course to the things that we strive for, the things
an
that
appetizer,
like
we perhaps
an appetizer. That's right. And the things that we've come to discover within the genre as political or extreme or like thing. We know that the genre says those things. And I think that like movies, like, you know, we're talking like movies like Get Out or,
it owes so much to Get Out
trying to, but it's also like Hulu needs to have one of those of its own. And it knows that, you know, it has Adam McKay as the producer. And it's like, Adam McKay, like, he, I don't know if it's him or if it's Hulu or if it's just too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah, man, we are so full of references.
This is great. This is great. But it's something happens for me that it just feels so watered down. It feels, I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me. But it doesn't mean that I don't think that it's a bad movie. It's something that I would recommend. I've already recommended it to a couple people to watch. But it's like,
yeah, it's not
without caveats. I don't even give them the caveats to recommend it.
We're coming down hard on this movie like it's the worst film of the year. And it's
I'm so sorry. I don't mean to sound like that.
It could have been so much more. Yeah. It's more.
It's fun, though.
We want it to love it. I want to love this movie.
The hype. The hype was too much.
That to me is when I'm thinking of, as Scott has beautifully labeled them before, accidental cannibal movies.
Cannibal whoopsies.
Like, I think that is what Motel Hell does right, is that it is really funny and satirical, and it is also really gross and horrifying. But like, finding that right blend is difficult.
Dude, you're saying, like, because then, like, I feel like it would take it a step further, because now we're talking about blue collar absolutely cannibalizing women and society. Yeah. Like, you know, of course, like, this rich motherfucker is part of the problem. Like, yeah, like, I get that. But, like, if we just talk about on, like a regular, like, middle class, lower class, like, blue collar level, it's happening here. So it's not like, it's not so beyond us where you have to go to the secluded fucking weird mansion prison in the hills to like see this happening. And we also didn't touch on this, like on the real satanic goat part, like label of the whole thing at all. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. Again,
I'm
talking about my only problems with it and not my like excitement about it. It is fun. There are moments that I really like. The moments that I said bothered me, I didn't mean I didn't like them. I'm looking at it as a whole, and it is very pretty. And the I love the whole cast. I love the Lauren Ashley Carter like looking mashup. She was Lauren Ashley Carter and like Dakota Johnson like mixed together.
Yeah, I think if I could sum up what all of us are saying is like, there is a 4-star 90-minute version of this movie inside of this 3-star 2-hour version of this movie. Like,
I can accept
that. It's like just a couple changes and edits and tweet. Like, it's not so bad that it's like anybody who says that this is the worst film that came out this year, like has watched two movies this year.
But
it's anyone who tells you it's the best movie they've seen this year has watched one movie this year. So like it's a perfect middle of the ground, middle average movie, but it could have been something more. But then also like, gotta sell it. Sebastian Stan, all of the performances in this are great.
Really
like,
good.
Like it's, the direction is good.
It's written wonderfully. Acting, like the dialogue stuff is fantastic. Yeah,
there's just a few things that stayed too long and a few things that just didn't connect properly.
Yeah.
But all in all,
pretty fresh.
Pretty fresh. We got that out of our system. I mean, do you want a podcast forever? Probably not. So that was our episode on Starship Troopers from 1997, which actually doubled as a in streaming now fresh review. We'll be back next week with even more Horror Movie Night.
Hey, do you have an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? Or do you have an already existing podcast that you want to take to the next level? Well, check out WeKnowPodcasting.com. From concept development to theme music to editing to logos, WeKnowPodcasting.com is a one-stop shop for all things pod. Don't hesitate to hit us up. We're very nice.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Hello everyone, we're Superhero Stuff You Should Know, and if you think you know about superheroes and comic books,
think again.
We got romance. We got action.
Romance.
We got comedy. We got everything you need, man. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know for all your superhero needs.
I don't know about this romance. What part are you talking about?
We've got all kinds of sketches and then deep dives on top of that. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
All right. So come on down to... Wait, why did I say come on down? To Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.